Welcome back to Tarali Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Micha Horitz. Today we'll continue our study of Sefer Shoftim. We're up to Perek Tesvav. More fascinating narratives in the life of Shimshon. Perek Tesvav Pasuk Aleph. Vayhi miyamim biyameket sirchitim. Vayif kod Shimshon es ishto bigde izim. Vayomer avoal ishti below nasno avilavo. So what happened? After some time passed, a year passed, at the time of the wheat harvest, Shimshon decided to go visit his wife. And he took with him a kid, a gidi izim, a young goat. And he said, I will come to my wife into the bedroom, into the marriage chamber. Below nasno avilavo. However, her father would not let him enter. Now, if we remember why, she went and she ran off with somebody else. So her father says, excuse me, I thought you hated her, so I gave her to somebody else. Hello, achosa ktana tova mimena tihina lacha tachteha. What fine manners these people have. What morals, how faithful they are. You know, she went with somebody else, but she has a younger sister. The younger sister is much better than the one you married. Take her instead. Shimshon says, I will have none of this. I am absolved of any faithfulness to the plishtim. I am absolved of any faithfulness to you. I am now going to do bad. He does something very, very daring and very interesting and very riveting. He goes and he captures 300 foxes. Vayikach lapidim, and he takes torches. Vayifen zanav al zanav, and he takes tail to tail. Vayos of the foxes. Vayasem lapid echad ben shnei hazid navos batavach. We have that word by the Brisbane Observer, batavach. And he cuts avam vino, cuts the animals in half, and he puts a lapid. Shimshon has now tied the fox's tail to tail, and he takes one torch between the tail of two foxes. I just want to point out that Steindl's Ketuvim says, Shualim, this term may alternatively refer to jackals, which are of the same family as foxes, but they're easier to capture in large numbers because jackals live in packs. So whatever it is, he takes foxes slash jackals, 300, ties them tail to tail, and puts a torch between the tail of two foxes. Vayaver ish balapidim, and then he takes the torches and he lights them on fire. Vayishalech bekamos plishtim, and then he sends these foxes, with burning torches into the fields and the standing grains of the plishtim. The foxes are running wild and their tails are burning and the lapidesh are burning and they're running in the fields from the piles of the grain to the standing grain to the olive groves. So the plishtim see that all their crops are destroyed. Who did this? Shimshon chasana timni. They said, oh, you know who did this? Shimshon, the son-in-law of the timni. Because Shimshon's father-in-law took Shimshon's wife and gave it to a friend. Remember, we have learned, repeatedly we said, that Shimshon's tactic is not to come with an organized army of the Bnei Yisrael, because he knows they will never be able to defeat the plishtim. In order to turn the wrath of the plishtim away, he acts on his own, but really he's acting on behalf of Klal Yisrael, not on his own. This is just his tactic. Here, what he does, very interestingly, he gets the plishtim to turn against their own people. They understand loyalty, apparently, in this case, at least they do. And they say, how could the father have done that? He gave Shimshon's wife to another person. No wonder Shimshon went and burned all our fields. It's not Shimshon's fault. It's the father-in-law's fault. And they go and they burn her, the wife, and her father in fire. Vayomer lahem Shimshon. And they think Shimshon's going to be very happy with them. Im tasun kazos. If you have done such a matter, if this is how you act, in Tasun Kazos, have you done this? So I want to tell you what both Rashi and Radak says. What is Shimshon saying to them? Rashi says, Im Tasun Kazos, Vishema Regilin Atem Bekach, Laseis Ishto Shel Zeh Lezeh. Im Tasun Kazos, are you people used to doing this? Is this what you do? You give the wife of one to the person of another, to the husband of another. You take one's wife and you give it to someone else. That's what Rashi says. And Radak says, Im Tasun Kazos refers to Imitchila. I'm quoting the Radak now. Imitchila, Kisha Gazu Ishtia, Sisem Zosha Seraphim, Osa Vespace of Yahayatov. If in the beginning, when my wife was stolen from me, Shimshon was saying to Plishtim, if you would have done this, if you would would have burned her and her father's household, then good. Avalata, but now, you had no problem with what my father-in-law did and with what my wife did and going to be with another man. And should be kashti ani dinimikem. Until I requested judgment from you, all of a sudden you became so moral and you say, oh, how could they have done this? Lo achdaldain, I am not going to stop. The foxes in the field were just the first thing. I'm not stopping with the destruction now. Ela imke nikamti bechem pa mecheres v'achrei kein achdal. I'm going to take nekama from you. I'm going to take revenge upon you. And then I will stop. So now let's go back to the pasuk. Now that we understand, Vayomalem Shimshon im tasun kazos. We saw both Rashi and Radak. Kim nikamti b'chem v'achar echdal. I'm in pasuk Zayin, by the way. He says, "I will take vengeance, revenge, nakama against you, and then I will cease." And he smote them. Shok al yareach, calf, calf, over thigh. Makagdola, great blow. Vayirid vayeshu b'siif salaitam. After he strikes the Pelishtim, he goes and he dwells, b'si'if sala etam. He goes down and he dwells in the cleft of the rock of etam. I just want to quote the art school in the VM here on Pasuches, which is the Pasuk we just quoted. And he struck them calf upon thigh. So art school in the VM points out, according to the Targum, these are idioms. Calf and thigh refer to riders and footmen. So he struck riders and footmen. Rashi explains a rider supports his weight with his calf, which is in the stirrups, while a footman uses his entire leg for walking. So he now strikes them and he goes and he runs away to this place called Etam, this rock in Etam. And the Plishtim come. The Plishtim aren't happy. They want to take revenge now against Shimshon. Vayachnu b'Yehuda. And they camp out in the territory of Yehuda. Vayunachu b'Lechi. And they deploy against Lechi. Lamid Ches Yud. We're going to see in the story why it's called that. Vayomu Ish Yehuda. Uh-oh. The Yehuda, the men of Yehuda, remember the Plishtim just came and camped in their territory. And the men of Ish Yehuda say, Lama Alisim Aleinu. Excuse me, why are you here? Why are you deployed here? Vayomu Lasar Shimshon Aleinu. Lasoso Kashar Salanu. So the Plishtim say, we have no problem with you, the Bnei Yehuda. We're here to capture Shimshon. We want to do to him what he did to us. Look how strong everyone knows Shimshon is. To capture Shimshon, to talk to Shimshon, Yehuda sends 3,000 men. 3,000. Shimshon was one person. Could you imagine how afraid of him they were? They sent 3,000. How invincible they must have thought he was. If they felt they needed to send 3,000 men to capture one, they send 3,000 men to Sela Etam. Remember, that's where Shimshon is hiding. Hello, Yadata Kimish. Shimshon, what are you doing? You don't know we're living in the land of Canaan and the Plishtim rule over us. You're trying to cause problems. Umazos Sisalan, and what have you done to us? You stirred up the wrath of the Plishtim against us. So Shimshon says, sorry, but what they did to me, I'm going to do to them. I don't want you involved, and that bad should happen to you, but yes, I'm going to go and I'm going to fight against the Plishtim. Esarcha yaradnu, letitcha biyada plishtim. The Bnei Yehuda say, well, sorry, we have to tell you something. You're under arrest. Anything you say can be and will be used against you in the court of law. We have come to arrest you. We're giving you over to the hands of the plishtim. Vayomelam Shimshon, hishavali pentifku un biatem. So Shimshon says, you're going to arrest me and give me over to the plishtim. Fine. I just ask you to take on oath that you yourselves, the Bnei Yehuda, will not do anything to me to harm me. I want to quote from the art school Nevi'im, justification for the arrest. How could the Bnei Yehuda have done this to arrest Shimshon and give him over to the plishtim? Although the law is that it is forbidden to turn over a Jew for execution by Gentiles, even if they designate him by name, there are two exceptions. A, if he is legally liable to the death penalty, even by Gentile law, then it is permitted to give him over. And B, if his misdeeds cause danger to other Jews. Shimshon fell under both categories, since the Plishtim condemned him as a murderer, and he caused them to bring an army into Yehuda. So if he's a murderer and he's condemned to death, it's allowed to give him over. If he's causing danger to other Jews, it's allowed to give him over. The Bnei Yehuda are very worried. There's a whole call-up of Plishtim in their territory. So therefore, oh, interestingly, according to the Radak in Sefer Shmuel, the people of Yehuda would not have forcibly turned in Shimshon. It must be that he went voluntarily. But whatever the case, Vayomu, though, they say to him, saying, lo, hiasar na esrucha unisanucha biadam. V'hamesh lo nimisecha. Don't worry, we're just going to arrest you, say the Bnei Yehuda. We're not going to kill you. And they arrest him. They arrest him with two thick new ropes. They tie up his hands. They don't have handcuffs in those days. They put him in ropes. And they bring him up from the rock of Etam. He comes to the place called Lechi. And the Plishtim, Heriu the Kraso, we're in Pasuk Yadalad. He comes up to the place that is called Lechi. And the Plishtim are calling out. They're shouting out Heriu, like the word Trua. They're coming close. They want to meet him. They're making the war noises. And as has happened in the past, just like he slayed the lion with his bare hands, the Spirit of God rested upon him. And all of a sudden, those thick ropes just became like burned flax, and they practically melted away. Then he finds this amazing find, a fresh jawbone of a donkey. Lechi, a jawbone, chamar, donkey, tria, like fresh. Chalav tari. He finds a fresh jawbone of a donkey. He uses it as a weapon. He sends forth his hands. He takes it. And what does he do with the jawbone of the donkey? We're in Pasuk Tesvav. Vayach ba elef ish. With the jawbone of the donkey, he kills 1,000 men. Vayomer Shimshon. And now Shimshon says, Pasuk Tezayin, poetically. He's into riddles and poetry. Bilechi ha-chamor, chamor chamorasim. Bilechi ha-chamor, he kesi elef ish. With the jawbone of the donkey, chamar chamorasim. We have this by Amakas Tzvardeya, piles and piles of frogs. With the jawbone of the donkey, I have caused piles and piles of corpses of the Plishtim to pile up. With the jawbone of the donkey, kesi elef ish. I struck 1,000 men. I just want to tell you what Rashi says, chamar, on the words chamar chamorasim, says Rashi, b'lechi chamar. Through the jaw of this donkey, I cause piles and piles. Let's go. He finishes speaking. He finishes killing the Plishtim. He finishes speaking. Remember, he got out of the thick ropes that the Bnei Yehuda had arrested him in. They were trying to arrest him, but he's so strong that the ropes miraculously turned to burned flax, bonding him. He broke through, and with this jawbone of the donkey as a weapon, he kills 1,000 Plishtim. And he calls the place Ramat Lechi, Pasuk Yitzayim. Ramat Lechi. Ramah is like a high place, and Lechi is the jawbone. So the hill or the high place of the jawbone. And then he's very thirsty. And he calls out to Hashem, he prays, and he says, Atanasata biad avdecha eshetashua hagadola zos. He says, listen, God, you gave in the hand of your servant this great salvation. So Shimshon is clearly aware that his unbelievable strength comes from God. Va'ata amus basama, am I going to die now from thirst? When afalti biad ha'erelim, am I going to fall into the hands of those who are uncircumcised? After all I've been through, all I want is a little bit of water. I'm going to fall into the hands of the uncircumcised ones. We know that death by thirst, Rachmana Litzlan do Aleinu, is very terrible. We see it in the Chumash. In Parshas Beshalach, the people thirst for water. Perek Yitzayin. In Parshas Chukas, the people thirst for water. And Rashi tells us that death by thirst, Rachmana Litzlan, is one of the worst kinds of death. One of the worst kinds of death. So we see here that Shimshon says, I have to have water. Should I now die after all I've been through and fall into the hands of these uncircumcised ones? God made a big miracle. Vayivka Elokim es hamach teish. And God caused a split in the rock. A split or a hollow in this rock, Asher Belechi, where Shimshon was, Vayetzu Menu Mayim, and great water came out, just like Moshe was commanded, in Parashas Beshalach to strike the rock. Perek Yitzayin, he struck the rock, and water came out. It was a very big miracle. A miracle happens here. God causes a split in the hollow of the rock, and out comes the water. Vayesh, and he drinks, Vatashav Rucho, Vayechi, and his spirit is revived, and he lives. Al kein karashmo ein hakorei. Therefore, they call this place ein hakorei. What does ein hakorei mean? The spring of the one who called out. Asher bolechi aru yomazeh. That is in lechi until this very day. I'm just going to quote Rashi on Radak. What is ein hakorei? So Rashi says ein hakorei me ein shaba al yedei zaakat hakorei al Hashem. Ma'ayan. Ma'ayan Shabbat al Yedei Zakat HaKorei L'Hashem. It's a spring of water that came about miraculously through the cry of the one who called out to God. So in other words, this spring of water was not there. It was created through the tefillos of Shimshon. Eina korei ma'ayan sheba al yedei zakat korei al Hashem. Radak says very similarly, ketargumo, he quotes the Targum, Eina de is yehivas bitzalose de Shimshon. I stress many times that Aramaic tzadi lamed is the Targum word for prayer. Eina de is yehivas bitzalose de Shimshon. It is a spring that was created by the prayers of Shimshon. Yeshua Hashem Karavayan. Shimshon called for water. There was water. Last pasuk, Vayishpot es Yisrael bimei plishtim esrim shana, and he judged Israel during the days of the plishtim for 20 years. Fascinating learning continues. Wow. Thank you, sir. Thank you for studying together. Lilu nishamot imoteno yikarot Esther Oppenheimer, Elo Hashem, and Sarah Schenker, Elo Hashem, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations. Call to thank you to all, and I very much look forward to continuing our learning tomorrow.